Welcome to the podcast, Hopeful Horizons, the bridge where hope and healing meet. Our mission is to create the environment and resources to get people across the bridge from the post-COVID experience to a future filled with hope. Please welcome our host, Holly Porter, founder of Adventure Bucket Wish Foundation.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast today. I've been waiting for this moment to happen for a couple months now. So my guest today is Scott Porter, and he's a couple things. He is my husband of 22 years. he is my caretaker when I've been sick, and he also has long COVID himself. So he checks off a lot of boxes for our show, and that's why I wanted to get him on here a little sooner in the game. But just our schedules weren't working out. And so I said, just sit right here. We're going to get this done today and have a little discussion so you can kind of hear everyone. If you go back and listen, the first couple were my story being interviewed by one of my board members to our nonprofit for long COVID called Adventure Bucket Wish. And so this is like his version of the story. And we've done that with a couple other of our guests, the husband and wife as well. And also just putting that out there that if you are someone who is a caretaker of someone with long COVID, or you have long COVID, or you're in the medical or holistic profession, we want to invite you to go to our website, adventurebucketwish.org. And that's bucket wish with a W, wish. And get in there and hit the contact button and let us know. We'd love to be able to hear your story and share it because we want to raise awareness around this. So that all being said, hubby, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Man of many words. How does he get any in, right? Well, all right. So let's circle back. Let's go back to, gosh, it's been almost 2.5 years ago. Can you believe that?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like that long.
I know.
And it seems like a lot longer, so.
I want you to tell from your version, and I'll try not to butt in, since I know the story. I might just clarify a couple things, though, but just let's go back. So when we got COVID, I brought it to you from a conference, Delta version, by the way, and it was the very last couple of days of August when I got it. I tested, I think, September 1st or 2nd, was positive, and then, what, 2 days? You were 2 days behind me, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Let's start there. I want you to give us your version of the story for whatever you want to share.
She got home from her conference, and then she got it. She was sick, and of course, we were in a fifth wheel at the time. And then I got sick. I didn't get really sick as far as being not feeling well. And one night she woke me up, and so we got out of the hospital.
After a week, we were in there for a week, we didn't go out at all.
And we ran to the hospital, and she went in, and then I went and parked the car. And then I walked in later, and she's already taken back and already gone. And they took her right up to the ICU immediately. And then I was tested and came back positive. So I went to go up to the ICU and to like be with her. And they said, no, you can't come in here. You have COVID. I said, well, so does she. So, you know, I says, so I ended up going home, and when we talked to her sisters, and they went up there eventually, you know, and was able to be with her every day for weeks, and probably a month.
It was 3.5 weeks before you could come see me, and not
that was
just
that was just for like two hours, which is at that time that was all I could really do. At that time, I'd been back to the hospital and I had to get put on oxygen. Mm-hmm. So I was on oxygen for the pneumonia part of it, which I got pretty good. And so I was on oxygen for a while.
And you probably would have got back better faster if, what did you say?
Well, I think I could have muscled through it if I wasn't so worried about her. Because I had no idea what was going on up there and what they were doing. Her sisters gave me updates and things like that. You know, and I watched the same Facebook most everybody else did that was following her story. And I got updated, but I couldn't see her and couldn't be with her. And that was pretty tough. And I was just out there mostly by myself.
Yeah. Oh, it makes me want to cry.
My daughter come down. Yeah. After probably 2 weeks. So I'm pretty sure we weren't contagious at that point. And we sat outside and talked for a while, and she brought me food and groceries and things like that. And my other daughter pitched in and things like that. So
I was grateful because I have twin sisters. I have a lot of sisters, but the twin sisters that live in the same town as me, they both are super busy with one or two jobs each. And so for them, they stayed 24/7 with me and took shifts. And then I had one of my daughters who about the second week I was in there. And for those of you that didn't listen to the previous podcast and you're catching this one, you can go back and listen to the whole story. But I was in there 70 days. So it was a big deal. And that first 3.5 weeks or a month was probably the most crucial, like, every day. Is she even going to make it? Like, there were so many days like that. And so he was dealing with that kind of news while he couldn't come see me. And the day he could, was I on a ventilator or did I have my trach?
No, you were on the ventilator when I first came to see you. And I think even the second time I came to see you.
Yeah, once I got on my trach. So yeah, you're right. Because about a week and a half after you came, first 5 weeks I spent in one hospital. As soon as they got me on the trach, that was a good sign. You're still on a ventilator, but you know, it goes from your mouth down your throat to in your throat, literally.
Yeah.
And then they kick you out of there and they want, you know, it was so overloaded with people. And so I went to a hospital up north and then he had to come. Let's talk about how hard that was on you too.
Yeah. To start with, it was pretty tough because I was
3.5 hours away.
3.5 hours away. But luckily my sister lives up in Salt Lake area and she was in the Orem area up north from us. And so I stayed with my sister, and which was really nice. It was good to be able to chat with her and talk with her a little bit. But then I could go over to Holly almost every day. And I was still coughing like crazy when she first got up there. And some of the nurses were really super nice up there. And, all of them were that I met were really super nice and good.
Yeah.
But that was the only time then I could go stay up there with her but it was only, like to say, from like 9 to 9. And then they boot you out.
And then we had to deal. That's the hospital I got sepsis in. And
The first time you got you got sick down here at the St. George Hospital. And that's the one we thought we were going to lose her on that one. I can't even remember called it. It was a very rare infection of some sort.
You name it. I felt like I got it.
And once they figured it out, they got that straightened out pretty quickly. But they worked really hard to take good care of her.
Yeah, we did have good care. I will say both hospitals were really good that way. I remember me telling you, you know, back then they all wore yellow. So like I have bad eyesight. So if I didn't have my contacts or glasses, contacts weren't happening, but if I had my glasses on, I could see a little bit, but everybody had the mask. They had the yellow, throwaway things,
gowns.
Yeah. And then the hat, I mean, they were covered. All I could see was people's eyes there. And then when I went to the other hospital, they weren't as much, they were a little more relaxed. But one day I was saying to him, I remembered everybody, all of a sudden, everybody gowned up. And I think that must have been when I had sepsis.
I don't know what they called it. You just had something that was not.
Yeah.
And it ended up not being as critical as the other one. But they were just being super cautious.
Yeah. But I remember you saying, no, they were just wearing that because of you. Because I said, how come everybody had to wear all this stuff when they came in my room?
Yeah. Because they thought she was got something else. And so they were worried. And they got that taken care of pretty quickly. Within like a day or so, they were right on it.
Yeah.
And didn't end up being as what they were thinking.
And I was able to have a lot of visitors up there. I think I could have.
You could have one person or
two.
Two people in the room at one time. If two people came to visit her, I had to go wait outside.
Yeah.
Which was okay. That was okay. It was great having people come and visit, and some of her good good friends. And even one of her gals that used to work for her down in Cedar lived right by there, or worked right by there. And she'd come over and visit.
Yeah, I did have quite a few friends. I mean, being three and a half hours away and 2.5 from Cedar, it was when they could finally come. It was great. But then moving forward from there, when do you think you realized you had long COVID too? At what point do you think?
It seemed like I kept getting sick easier. It was, even now, it's sometimes, if it's cold outside, I can't hardly breathe, and I choke and I cough, and I really struggle with that now. But my memory's not what it used to be, and it wasn't good then. But
it's still better than mine.
mostly my short-term memory isn't what it should be, I don't think. So,
and the fatigue.
Yeah, I get
muscle aches.
I get super tired easy, and then my muscles are, I'm just not as strong as I used to be.
Yeah.
Seems like. So some of that could be from getting a little bit older, but.
It ages you, don't you think? I feel like I aged 10 years over the last couple.
Yeah. It does age you a little bit, I think, but some people can get right through it and others will struggle with it. But
what do you think's changed with your life? Not because of me. I mean, I know that I changed a lot of things for our lives, but what do you think has changed for you?
I don't know. I just, my ability to keep going or being more motivated. I think I've lost a little bit of motivation due to it, probably some of my memory mostly, and then my muscles. It's sometimes, you go out and work, and I do concrete, and it's wears on you. So I get home from doing concrete, and I sit down, and that I'm done. I can't do anything else, and I want to.
Yeah.
But it
we've had to simplify our lives a lot. We are not near as active as we used to be.
No.
However, we did get up and go 10 miles on our bikes today.
Electric bikes.
Yeah, they are electric.
Let's clarify.
Yeah, but you're still pedaling. I pedal the whole time just because I need the exercise, even though I have the assistance. Some days I need it more than others, but yeah. That fatigue just, it really.
And that makes it nice to be able to get out and go see some of the nature. And the trails we have around here are awesome.
Yeah, we live in St. George, Utah, and it's amazing just right here. 10 miles are all trails just within what? 3 blocks from our house. So
yeah,
that's been really nice.
We could even get on one block away. It's right down the end of our street. So,
but a lot, we bought a house 2 years ago. We had a home under contract on a golf course, hole 10, that was kind of really nice. He's happy we got this one. I was in the hospital when we had it under contract. That's why we were in the fifth wheel. And we weren't roughing it too bad because it was on my dad's property and he lives like in a spa, huh? Like a retreat spa place. Well, it wasn't like we were roughing it. It was fine. But we had to let that one go because of they didn't know if I was going to live or die. And I definitely couldn't sign any contracts. Although they did make me sign contracts each time they intubated me, like that wasn't under duress. If you know real estate, we use that term. If you sign under duress, I'm thinking, how is that not even under duress? Anyway, yeah. I digress. We ended up letting that one go. And then I couldn't even get back in. They wanted to send me to a third rehabilitation place, which would have been the third type hospital. And I begged them not to. And I was able to go and stay 2 weeks with my son. And then in Cedar City, Utah, because they had built a house that was on one level. But I left on oxygen for a long time after. And then I was on a walker, not for very long because they had hallways I could hang on to. No, I was on the walker a while. I was on the cane.
You were on the cane for about a half an hour. I went and bought it for her. It was all fancy and
leopard
print. Just,
it was like
just
my parents.
About a half a day. And I don't need this.
And I just hung on to the walls because I couldn't go anywhere. I was so weak. So weak. I had occupational therapy and physical therapy. I think I had 3 different therapists I had to do speech therapy. I mean, yeah, all of that. So Scott would work and then come, and we stayed there. And then we came back to St. George, which is about 45 minutes away down south, where the weather's way better. And I could breathe a lot better down there as well. But I couldn't go into the fifth wheel because I couldn't even lift the oxygen tank. I couldn't even get up the steps, let alone lift the oxygen tank if I was alone, to get in the fifth wheel for what? We stayed with Jan 2 or 3 weeks?
We stayed with Jan for 2 weeks, and we stayed with Jesse.
My son, Jesse.
For 2 weeks also, and then...
That was a lot of changes.
I was lucky I had a job going out of town, and I had another one of my sons. He went up there and took care of them for a little bit. A couple pretty good pours for me.
All our kids really pitched in in their way they could. Yeah.
Some of them went a little more above.
Yeah. Beyond. We have 8 children, by the way. 17 grandkids now.
But they all did what they could to help us out.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. And we sure love them for it.
And thank heavens for Zoom, because I know they would do family Zooms. I've seen photos of it on there. And I'm like, it's over my hospital room and they're all talking. But I really don't remember a lot of them because I was pretty sick. But that was good. And FaceTime. I have some recordings. Yeah. One of my sisters would record calls with me and Scott. And her, like, making medical decisions. And I remember the one we were listening to, oh, wow, when the first intubation, I was listening to it because you're signing your life away pretty much. Back then, we just figured once you go on a ventilator, kiss it goodbye. But I had struggled for 4 days before they put me on one.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to make the decision. And my sister definitely didn't want to make the decision. And so we were all discussing, and they're all waiting for me to make it. And I finally just said, all I know is I got to take my chances because I can't breathe.
Yeah. I don't know so much if the ventilator's the bad thing. I think it's some of the stuff they give you, drugs of some sort, that I think mostly affect you. That's my opinion. Yeah.
We got to remember, though, they didn't know. Remember, COVID was new. Nobody knew anything.
Yeah, but they knew about the ventilators.
Let's talk about, with long COVID, things that, you know, the hospital's going to be your harsh things. That was a lot of medication, which you dodged because you didn't have to go in the hospital. What would you say is some natural things more? Because we tend to lean towards that side in our healing, and we like to not be on all the medication. There's a time and a place for medication. Our bodies are made to heal. You can heal yourself doing other natural things. We do a lot of supplements. What would you say has probably helped your long COVID the most that you've done?
Mostly time. I mean, time, and then you just keep up on your vitamins and minerals. And we have another supplement we take. They're drops. But yeah,
DNA botanical drops. Those have helped us a lot.
They're really good. I think time and just trying to eating as healthy as you can helps quite a little bit.
Yeah, I think diet's so much of most people's health issues, that if they ate better. And I think with long COVID too, getting off of, I feel like getting off of dairy, eating gluten-free when you've got the arthritic stuff and the fatigue and things like that. I think those are real, and sugar for sure. Sugar, that's always one. You know, we hear it all the time, but it seems like that when you're having these autoimmune things happening to your body, because that's what COVID did. It just caught everything you might have ever had on fire. And we were really healthy before.
Yeah, pretty good.
And so do you feel like you are better because it's been time? It's been, what, 2.5 years, really?
They're getting better, but I'm not 100%.
Yeah.
I've still got lung issues and muscle issues and things like that.
Right. So. And I think too that as we, again, like you said, time, and as we move forward and just keep eating better, I think we feel better when we eat better. Right. And so I think for the most part, and also I think people that are suffering, I think it really helps. You really can suffer mentally with these, and depression and anxiety, all that kind of stuff intensifies as well. And I think just realizing that when you need someone to talk to, you need help to reach out and get that. I mean, you've got Zooms. If you're home and don't want to be around people, if you could join a group, something like that. There's so many places that we can talk to people that we don't even have to go live. But I think just reaching out and getting that help is really important.
Yeah, and talking to other people and friends, family.
If they're by themselves, if someone's alone with long COVID, first of all, that's challenging. That's a whole nother set of issues.
That's why there's certain groups that have started that help people.
Feel heard.
Feel heard. I mean, I think you have one on the on Facebook.
Yeah, we
and for that, so people can get on there and chat with others in their same type of predicament.
Right. I appreciate anchoring you down and us getting on here finally and recording a little bit of your story and what you went through. We all went through something during COVID. Most of us lost people. Most of us got COVID. It's not really escaped anyone. It's just something the whole world suffered from really quickly at the same time. And I think if we can realize there's so many more people out there with long COVID now, millions of people have long COVID. In fact, I heard a new number was 85 million and it was 65 million documented cases before. That's 20 million more people than the last stats that I had. And I think people have it and don't know they have it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So there's probably so many more that haven't been diagnosed with it. So
the 20 million might be all those new people getting diagnosed. And that's what they're labeling it now, right? And so if you're suffering, if you're listening to this and you're suffering from some health issues, since you had COVID, you might not have connected the dots because there's 200 symptoms that have been linked to COVID for long COVID. And anyway, find the right help. I mean, doctors have not, we're going to continue to search on this podcast for doctors that can give us more support and give us more knowledge because a lot of people have to travel to go anywhere to get help with their long COVID. And that's sad because even my doctors even tell me they learn from me when I go there. I know more about it than they do. That's sad. I want to bill them, by the way.
That's right.
All right. Anyway, thanks for listening today. Join us again on another podcast, and we will see you then. Thank you. Bye for now.
Our biggest dream and desire is to bring lasting impact to the lives of the millions experiencing long COVID effects and symptoms all across the world. Please join us. You can reach out to us at adventurebucketwish.org.